Good afternoon. I'm here in the studio with our guest, Marion Owen, master gardener, YouTuber, and, I don't know, general all-around talented woman. Hi, Marion.
Good afternoon, Pam.
How's it going?
Fabulous. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is gorgeous outside, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So we are here to do a very quick discussion about what to do with your garden in the fall. Things that we should be doing now, things that we should be getting ready for to do over the next month or so, right? Assuming we don't have snow before the end of September.
Erg.
Erg is right. Okay, so we're going to start right off because we have a lot of things to cover here. What's the main thing that people should be thinking about right now with their gardens?
Spring.
Spring?
Right. Because a lot of people, they look at fall, they go, well, things are kind of winding down, done, right? No. Fall is the perfect time to get ready for spring gardening. This is when a different phase of gardening ramps up.
Would that be the phase where you are prepared for spring?
Yes, because in the spring, you don't want to get caught with your plants down.
Well, that was good.
Well, you know, when you think about it, Pam, this is what happens is, okay, you'll start some seeds in the winter, and you're getting a little excited, and then maybe April rolls around, you go, dang, I've got to do this, this, and this. I got to build raised beds. I've got to blah, 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 blah. And before you know it, it's panic time. You might as well get a lot of that done this fall when the ground is still warm. You can get outside, build your raised beds, take care of things, and you'll be just so ready.
All right. So let's talk about the folks who already have raised beds or containers that they do things in or have established garden space. What should they be doing?
Well, harvesting, for one thing. Mm-hmm. You can actually be sowing some crops that can grow over the winter. Get weeds out of the ground so they don't go to seed. As the expression is, 1 year's seeds is 7 years weeds.
Bummer.
I know. It's a bummer. Maybe repairing raised beds. Putting up mini hoops to overwinter certain things. Dividing perennials. This is the perfect time to divide perennials.
Rather than springtime.
Yes. The ground is still warm. They still have time to kind of get adjusted to their new digs.
Good to know.
Harvesting potatoes. Particularly, people love potatoes around here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a time-honored, long tradition doing potatoes around here.
Right.
Hence, Potato Patch Lake.
Right. And so a couple things is like planting garlic and taking down your containers and hanging baskets. Bringing plants indoors.
But, okay, so we haven't had the first frost yet. So when do you take down your containers and baskets and all of that good stuff? I usually wait until most everything is dead, dead, dead. And then before the freeze. Too late?
That's not too late. But if you want to use the plants, as in the ones that are still green in your compost, as a nitrogen source, then I'd go ahead and take them apart. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Even the things that are still flowering.
You know, it's timing. Maybe you're going to go on vacation or something. Just get the stuff done. One thing that happens if you wait until they're really dead, 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 is the roots are really dry. They become really dry and woody. And it's a little more difficult to shake the soil off.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, maybe you've got geraniums that you want to overwinter in the house. And so then you do want them to get a little dry. You want the soil to get a little dry.
Before you bring them in.
Before you bring them in, right. And the other thing, when you get ready to bring in plants like begonias, you want them to die back. You want them to kind of go, okay, diminishing light, it's time to kind of pull into the bulb or whatever it is. And you want to observe them, not as in, well, it's like watching coconuts fall. You you want to make sure, it's important to make sure that they're not harboring pests like aphids and so on. So just kind of watch them. Before you bring them indoors, you're going to put them in a little bit of quarantine.
So once they do come indoors, that was my next question. You put them in a little dark space. This is geraniums, begonias, etc.
Mm-hmm. I would put them not so much in a dark space right away, but in a space that's not around your house plants.
Right, just in case of aphids or whatever.
Spider mites.
Okay.
Right.
All mm-hmm. right. So I want to back up a little bit. You mentioned one of the things that somebody with a greenhouse or a hoop house, et cetera, could be preparing for, or even just raised beds, is sowing seeds. So what kinds of seeds might you sow that would overwinter well here?
One of the best vegetables for sowing and growing over the winter, so you have a crop next March or so, right. is spinach.
Huh.
Spinach is a fabulous, very hardy winter green.
You'd have to have a covered hoop of some sort, right?
You need to have, in your raised beds, some sort of mini hoop system. And that is very simple to accomplish. It's just a half-inch PVC pipe secured inside the raised beds. So you have maybe 8 or 9 foot lengths. And you cover it with plastic and secure the plastic. This time of year, right now, it's the first week of September, is when I sow my spinach seeds.
Okay.
They grow about 3 inches. This is magic. They grow about 3 inches tall. But the biggest magic is what's happening under the soil. They're establishing a root system that will take them through the whole winter.
So it's important to get them in early enough,
yes.
to be able to establish that before
right.
the freeze.
Because when it freezes, and you know, last fall was pretty stiff as far as freezing goes. October, November were brutal.
Yeah.
The spinach looked awful. The top greens just so wilted to the ground, but the roots were fine.
And you had spinach in the spring?
I had not only spinach in the spring, where I could lift up the raised beds and pick a few greens for salad in February and March.
Wow.
Now, this was a total surprise for me. I was able to harvest from the spinach that I sowed in the first week of September all the way into mid-July.
Wow.
It wasn't until mid-July that it started to bolt.
That's pretty good. So by then, your spring planting had already started to grow.
Yes.
No time without spinach.
You're right. And so spinach that I had sown from seed in June bolted in 3-4 weeks. And the difference is it's that root system is so much bigger in the older plants. They could just kind of tolerate it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So planting spinach is a good thing to go. You mentioned garlic also is a fall plant. I'm not much of a vegetable gardener, but I'm a flower gardener. So what would I be planting this time of year?
I would say spring flowering bulbs.
Okay. Tulips, daffodils.
Tulips, crocus, even in containers, your half halibut tubs or raised beds is a set of crocuses. Croci? Crocuses?
I don't know.
Croci?
You're the gardener.
You want to plant them in clumps. Give them clumps. Like if you have 24 bulbs, don't spread them out hither and yon in a row or something. Keep them in a clump. It's a much more appealing and striking display. One more way you can take advantage of crocuses, because they're the earliest bloomer for bumblebee food, all of that to cheer us up, is to plant them in your lawn. And you just take a narrow trowel and stab it in there, pull it a little bit to open up a little slot, and you just put your crocus bulbs in there, you know, 2 or 3 inches down, or 4 if you can, and just press it together, kind of like pressing a wound together, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of press it together. Done. It's good.
And let it go.
And let it go. Let it grow.
Be interesting to see if they actually grow. All right, so spring flowering bulbs, spring vegetables. Any other vegetables we should?
Well, garlic.
Garlic, yes. Coming back to garlic.
Think garlic is like spring flowering bulbs. You need to plant them in the fall. And for us, garlic for me, I would do maybe mid-September, late September.
Okay.
And flowering bulbs, you can wait till October or
right,
so.
Right.
Be aware of the weather.
Yeah.
But get the garlic in so that, again, it can establish the root system and make it over through the winter. Yeah. Or make it through the winter.
Make it through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a special type of garlic that does well here with our winters in raised beds or, I don't know, does anybody plant garlic in containers?
You can. Hmm. But that's a very good question because for northern regions, mm-hmm. you have basically two kinds of garlic. You've got soft neck garlic and you have hard neck garlic.
Okay.
Soft neck garlic is what you see mostly in the grocery stores. They're grown in the south. Beautiful braids of garlic you see hanging in farmers markets and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But they're small cloves. Here in the northern regions, hard neck garlic is what you want for several reasons. They form giant bulbs or cloves. They form giant cloves. It's very flavorful, almost borderline hot.
Huh.
And it stores well. And it grows really well in our cool soils. So hard neck garlic is what you want.
Again, back to the root system.
Yep.
And for the garlic, you would plant that in September also?
I do mid to late September.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is there anything in particular about planting the garlic that you need to think about when you're doing that? Or
well, you take the bulb apart into mm-hmm. individual cloves. You divide okay. it up, and you want the pointy tip up.
Pointy tip up.
Pointy okay. tip up.
Point and, up.
Yeah. So maybe 3 or 4 inches down.
Okay.
And cover with mulch or compost. And keep it damp, not soggy. Sometimes I cover it with a mini hoop, and sometimes I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it'll do okay.
But I prefer to do that just to give them a little bit of a fighting edge. Because I don't know about your crystal ball, but mine gets a little clouded over mm-hmm. where I don't know what's coming. And we cover all of our raised beds now with the mini hoops. It's not something I started out doing. We used to install the hoops and the plastic in the fall, and then we take it off in the spring. Now we just keep the hoops in place.
Oh, I see. So you keep the actual hoop, and then you're putting different material over it.
Exactly. So a material might be shrimp web or fishnet to keep birds out in the spring. It might be that tulle fabric, mm-hmm, you know, the uh-huh. wedding fabric to keep out the cabbage moths and root maggots.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I like turnips, but I don't like holy turnips.
Gotcha.
So I cover the beds with plastic at least, and for several reasons. The nutrients in the soil, the compost that we added, doesn't get all washed out.
Mm-hmm.
The beds don't get flooded with rainwater and covered with snow, and hence the ground stays thawed out and fluffy and friable. It's called friable. So you can get your hands in the dirt literally a lot sooner if you cover your beds.
Okay. So we mentioned compost, one mm-hmm. of your favorite subjects. So as you're preparing your beds, not just for the vegetables or the flowers or whatever for the spring, but even the beds that are going to rest over the winter, what do you want to do so that they're not just resting? Perhaps they're working. What do you do to those beds or containers or whatever?
Several things. And working is a really good term, Pam, because when you do cover your raised beds, the earthworms are able to come up more to the surface and literally pull down the organic material from the top, and then they work it into your soil while we're going through our winter period here. So I make compost. I am on the lookout for leaves and green grass clippings, leaves, scraps from the kitchen, kelp, all of that to make compost. Now, if you don't have a compost bin, don't fret. Because one thing you can do is you can take your kitchen scraps, your coffee grounds, your eggshells, your banana peels, all of that stuff, even pizza got forgotten in the back of the refrigerator, dried out rice, pasta, all of those things, you can literally put right in your garden. You just dig a hole and you pour it in and you cover it up. And then the earthworms, the microbes, they are working on that immediately. And by spring, you won't see a thing.
So if you don't put hoops over your whatever your garden space is, the worms will still be working on it long enough to kind of recompost everything.
Exactly.
What about seaweed? Because a lot of us use kelp and seaweed for various things. And the fall seaweed dump is happening on shores now. Is that any good? Do you use that?
Kelp or seaweed is one of the finest ingredients you can add to your garden. And that's worldwide. It's been used for centuries for enhancing the soil.
Okay.
As a matter, there's a huge industry, mostly in Norway and so on, of harvesting kelp, growing it, and then drying it and creating a granular product that is available for gardeners.
Oh, interesting.
It's wonderful because you can add it to your seed starting mix. You can put it in water and have a seaweed tea. You can add it, you know, it's really great.
Hmm. So the stuff we're picking off the beach now, is it better to dry it and crumble it up or just go ahead and put it in your garden?
I'd say go ahead and put it in your garden, in your outdoor garden.
Right.
If you have a hoop house or greenhouse, do not put kelp directly in your beds in your hoop house.
Hmm.
Unless you are going to take your skin off, as in the plastic covering.
Okay.
Because otherwise you build up over time the different salts. Now, I'm not talking about like table salt, but a lot of the compounds in the ocean are salt. Yeah. And then after a while, you only be able to grow like beets and that's it. But
Okay. Yeah.
And you can also dry it and you can crumble it and put it in your seed starting mixes. Lots of things you can do with it.
I actually like taking the seaweed, the lettuce stuff, and drying that and making a seasoning out of it.
It's great.
Yeah. Yep. Makes a good seasoning. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we've talked a little bit about outdoor beds and containers, et cetera. You just mentioned hoop houses. What are some of the things that we should be doing with our hoop houses to get them ready for winter and spring?
For those folks that are kind of adventurous, you can actually you can sow some seeds in your hoop even now in bare soil and just see how far they can grow. I would try something like what's called a vegetable mix, cut and come again greens.
Okay.
Where it's a mixture of kale and lettuce and mizuna and all that kind of stuff. And you just sprinkle it in little rows, and it might grow 3 inches before November. Great! Then you just cut it, you've got salad greens. But if you're more prone to just cleaning the whole thing out, then do so. Lift up all your irrigation hoses. Put in mulch or compost, because you probably have worms in there. But the most important thing is to get, and in your garden too, outdoors and in your hoop house, greenhouse, is get those brassicas out. Pull your kale, your Brussels sprouts before winter hits, all of those cabbage crops, because for our area, they are the most prone to club root, all kinds of other diseases. You don't want to keep them in the ground.
Because that will contaminate your soil that surrounds it, or?
Well, yes, it's true. It'll keep pests there that are, you know, ready to go. Ideally, in every garden, in a greenhouse, a hoop house, an outdoor garden, raised beds, whatever, it's a good idea to keep in mind a 3-year rotation. So, really basically, you've got three groups of plants, basically. You've got your peas and beans.
Okay.
Those are nitrogen fixers.
Okay.
You've got your cabbage crops and so on. And you kind of have your others. And let's put potatoes in the others.
Okay.
So, your peas and beans, they put nitrogen in the soil. A heavy feeder are your cabbage crops. The next year, you want to plant them where you planted peas the year before. Okay. Potatoes. This is an enormous problem here. People have, say, halibut tubs set aside for potatoes, and they plant potatoes every year in the same halibut tubs or the same raised bed. Big problem, because potatoes can also attract a whole variety of pests. Same with tomatoes. Don't keep planting in the same soil, because you will have problems.
So if you have a container, you could technically empty the soil out, freshen it up, put it back in.
Totally.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Works great.
which actually is every couple of years I do that, even just with flowers. Mm-hmm. I'll take it out and kind of freshen it up.
Even with your flowers, you can just freshen up the top 6 inches
right.
and call it good.
I tend to be more drastic. But, all right, so talking about flowers, one of the notes that we have here is about drying flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple of minutes. You can tell us about drying flowers or techniques that you use?
I love to dry flowers.
Mm.
Sometimes I will just clip the whole plant, like uh-huh. straw flowers or even my calendulas,
uh-huh.
and I just bundle them up and hang them upside down.
Hang them upside down, that's it.
You can just do that. Get a little airflow. You can put them in a microwave. Nah, not so good. But I like to put them in, I mean, because...
I can't even imagine sticking a flower in a microwave.
Well, you have to use the silica gel. You have to use the drying...
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So you have to cover it and coat it. Yeah, I know.
All right, so...
But the last way is in a food dehydrator. That works great.
Huh. All right. Never thought of that. But the traditional, old-fashioned way is just to hang them up upside mm-hmm. down in... Totally indoors or like in your hoop house or what's the better way to go?
In your hoop house or greenhouse is fine, so okay. long as it's not really damp in there.
Okay.
The ideal thing is in the dark with some air movement, and that's really about it.
Yeah, my attic with a fan. Perfect.
Yes. Stuff them under your bed, Pam.
No. That's where the dog goes. All right. So what are some other things that people should be thinking about in autumn gardening?
Well, one thing would be we have a lot of tomato growers around here.
Okay.
You know, thanks to hoop houses. I got to tell you, I might as well just call them a hope house because it's just radically changed gardening around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it has.
But not all tomatoes will turn red in time.
Mm.
So what do you do?
I know what you do. I'm a Southern person. I know what you do with them.
Send me your recipe for fried green tomatoes.
It's very simple.
Yeah. So if you have green tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
and they're just as good as a red tomato, as a matter of fact, I think they're on a par for the things you can do with them.
Hmm.
Cooking them, they don't
True.
Fall apart. There's nothing better than a green salsa.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Now, there's two things you can do. You can cut off the whole plant. You don't have to... And you can bring it inside like a dried flower and hang
mm-hmm.
it upside down. You can actually harvest the green tomatoes and kind of put them together because they put out ethylene gas.
Mm.
And that helps them ripen up. Or you can put them in a paper bag with an apple that gives off that ethylene gas.
Huh.
And then you can also, if it's in a container, you can bring the whole container inside.
As long as it doesn't have bugs.
Yeah, right. But if you have a tall a tomato plant,
uh-huh.
you can bring it inside and put it in your windowsill.
I was going to say, I know some people that have grown tomatoes here year-round in their windowsills.
Right.
Just because we get so much light from the south and the good exposure.
It works, and you can even start taking cuttings
uh-huh.
from your favorite variety and rooting them.
Really?
During the winter, and then you have your plants ready to go.
What?
You don't have to start from seed.
I did not know that.
So you can get major head starts on your
tomato
growing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'll be darned. You could technically root it inside and grow it inside if
That's
you
right,
wanted to.
And get it going.
Huh.
I'm just thinking of all these wonderful winter projects, right?
Yeah. Things to do in the dark.
Yeah.
Things to do in the dark.
Yep.
All right, we have a couple of minutes left. What are some things that you would like to cover or talk about? Well, maybe we can talk. We've talked about gardening and all kinds of things. We haven't talked about what Mike hit you up with when he came in was shrubberies, trees, things like that. Are there things that we need to do to sort of better prepare our trees and shrubs?
For our trees and shrubs, yes, and that would be to apply some sort of mulch.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just some leaves and compost mix, that kind of thing. Not too close to the stem.
Okay.
The other thing is a lot of folks like their raspberries. So the raspberry canes that produced this year, you want to clip those down to the ground.
Okay.
The little leafy stuff and the tender things coming up over the summer and right now, those are going to be your fruiting
canes next year.
Yeah, next spring.
Okay.
So definitely. And don't be too much in a hurry to cut off all this, the seeds they're forming on the flowers, your perennial flowers, mm-hmm. that is food for birds. Mm-hmm. I always leave a few currants on the bushes and so on because those little guys get hungry. And the mountain ashes are looking
fabulous
right now. And that's food for birds. So tend to your perennials. Kind of basically clean up your garden. And, you know, there's going to be slugs. That's just the way it is.
So, there will be slugs. What if you have, I have a couple of shrubs that are in containers. Would you mulch the container at all?
Well, not so much. I might top it off, but I would group my containers together so that
they don't freeze.
So the mass of them mm-hmm. might take care of each other or put it somewhere else, move things off the deck out of the nor'easters. Mm-hmm. There's a lot you can do to just kind of get them ready for the winter.
Okay.
Hanging baskets, take them down. Yeah. Reuse your soil. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right. Any last thoughts?
Well, a lot of what we talked about, Pam, I have a gardening course that I'm going to put on.
Okay.
And it's the first part of October. And it's a 3-part course.
Okay.
For all things gardening in Kodiak. And so
Not
just fall. It's now and all things gardening, from seed starting to composting to you name it. And if anybody's interested in that, if you're interested, my email address is mygarden@alaska.net.
Mygarden@alaska.net. Mm-hmm. All right, Marion, thank you very much for talking with me today. We're going to turn it back over to Terry.